But I'm not saying anything.
I'll make sure.
Yeah. It lets you know, that's for sure. Which is good, because everybody has been, you know, yeah, the conversations are being taped.
How long do we want to wait? Wait till like 7:02, I guess. We've got quorum, so we'll get started.
Yep. Bill, did we get a financial update?
No.
We did not. Okay, I was afraid I lost it or something.
Glad to see the owl looks the same on this side as it does on the other side.
It's got four eyes.
Staring me in the face.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to wait another minute and we'll get started. For those of us who are here, we can get started. We have one.
Yeah.
Well, Skinner, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Does the town have a way to measure the drop? I'm thinking about as the river goes down, what the elevation is and the slope of various places along the river. I don't know how to measure that myself.
No, there's organizations that do have some stations along the river where they record that in order to record the flow of the river. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we have any of them in Canton. Hartford has a couple.
Okay.
And they were fleeing on the website to see what the actual flow is. And I think they'll say what the level of the river is too.
Okay.
But like in relation to the bank by DPW or something like that, no. No, that's what I know.
I don't even know how to go about measuring that. Somebody with a transit standing at the edge of the water, somebody else will level on top. But
yeah, I know last time they looked at it, it was 10 feet. Now, obviously, the water was a little lower than that. And the hydro facility wasn't operational at that time. But I think usually it's between around 8 feet, between 8 and 10 feet.
All right. It is 7:02. I'm going to go ahead and call the July Town of Canton Board of Finance meeting to order. And the members present are Katie Keeney, Andrew Lavery, Dr. Sarah Faulkner, John Webb via video. Thank you, John, and myself, Jennifer Rockham. And I'm just going to say I appreciate everybody coming on short notice. We had a couple of things come up that needed to have action on, particularly one of our items under the Board of Selectmen updates. And so we're going to jump right in. Our first agenda topic is public participation. I don't know if there's any members of the public who would like to speak at this point, or I don't think we got any comments ahead of time. So we'll move on. We do not have financial exhibits this month. As we know, we close the fiscal year as of June 30th. It usually takes a month or a little bit to see where full year is gonna come in. And so we usually don't have exhibits for this month. So we're gonna jump right to our next agenda item, which is a Board of Selectmen updates and referrals. So I don't know, Bob, which one of you would like to start?
I can start.
Great, thank you.
The first referral is a grant from DECD, the Brownfields grant. At this point, I think almost 2 years ago, we applied for a grant to begin doing the environmental assessment for the Axe Factory property. Actually, this was before even the most recent developer was interested in the property. We did so because we knew that was one of the main impediments to developing the property. One of the concerns that developers coming in were was saying that they, you know, concerns about what environmental impact there could be there at the property. So with the cooperation of the owner, we applied for a grant to start that process. So far, they've been through a phase one environmental study. They're finishing up or getting close to the end of a phase two environmental study. And then this grant is essentially for what they refer to as phase three, for us to do the mitigation plan. So the first two, you determine really what is the extent of the environmental conditions at the site. And then thereafter, you do a mitigation plan to determine what's the best way to deal with those environmental issues. And so this grant would pay for doing that assessment. So again, it's something we've been doing for the last couple of years. The information will stay with the town. Obviously, it will be used by the developer also because we want it cleaned up. That's one of the benefits of having it developed. But whatever the results are of this study, the town does have access to that remaining town property. So that's a benefit to us too. So we'll have an idea of what's there and you know, the ways in which we can mitigate or clean it up. Bob, I don't know if you have anything to add.
Yeah, I just say it's a, you know, as Bob said, it's been an impediment to development down there. And you know, for many years, the town has engaged in a process of trying to identify and mitigate as many of the impediments as possible. This is certainly one of them, and it's one less major thing that a developer would have to do in order to develop the property. So it's a great idea.
Does anybody have questions?
Yeah, I'm actually just opening up now. I didn't get a chance to look at the assess. I looked at the police department one before I made it over here.
Will this cover the full cost of developing the mitigation plan, or will there be costs in addition to, and are those hours, or are they Mr. Stein's? Or?
No, they're certainly not ours. This should cover the cost of the plan. The cost of the actual mitigation will be additional, but this will develop the plan so that we know what we need to do to clean up the property.
It is the cleanup. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. I have a comment and a question. Comment is I'm really pleased that we're doing this because I remember somewhere in the past we had one of our potential developers do a full environmental study and then wouldn't share the results. So this way, whether it's Mr. Stein or if, you know, I hope that he stays with us, but if something happens and he doesn't, at least we can share that with whoever comes next. So I think this is really good. Plus the public will get to see it too, which will be helpful. My question is, when will it be done?
I think the idea is to get it done. I mean, it should be able to be done within a few months after the results of the phase two are done. So if that's the case, and say the phase two was done in September, you'd hope that somewhere around the end of the year, it would be done. They're looking to close in January. I'm pretty sure he's going to want this information before he closes. So that gives you some ballpark idea.
Okay. Yeah, so it should be pretty close to that, I would say.
That's actually what I was wondering is, because I know Mr. Stein is moving forward with his plans, and I know at some point he can't go forward any further until he knows what he's dealing with. So, yeah.
And is the cost of the mitigation his, like, the purchaser's responsibility, or potentially the town's if we don't have a purchaser, like, what, or that's a bridge to be crossed?
The town actually in the most recent legislation is somewhat shielded from it.
Okay.
So, you know, unless for some reason, even then, I don't think we'd, I can say, you know, he defaulted in his taxes, eventually took the property on a tax sale. But even then, I think we'd be shielded to a certain extent. So under most circumstances, the town wouldn't become liable for it.
Are there any other questions on this? I will entertain a motion that the board approve the acceptance of a Department of Economic and Community Development grant in the amount of $195,000 for environmental assessment at the Collins X Factory property.
So moved.
Sarah?
Second.
Katie? All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Thanks. Thanks, John. Motion carries 5-0. Okay, next item.
All right, the second item is a proposal that was brought to the Board of Selectmen by the police department for a few years now. Anyways, the police department has been looking for additional staffing. At this time, the decision was made to move forward with that staffing, and Chris can talk a little bit more about that. The proposal was brought to the Board of Selectmen. The Board of Selectmen reviewed it. And in essence, I think endorse the concept, and it comes here for determination of how or if it should be funded. And then we go back to the Board of Selectmen, depending on what this board was to decide to do. The proposal before you was $43,000 and change, or somewhere in that ballpark. The reason it's less than what it would cost for a full-time salary was because the officer wouldn't become on board until January. This is an officer which would be looking to bring through the academy. I would think that gives us the largest pool of candidates, and wonder if Mike was the greatest opportunity to try and get a diversified department. And so we'd be looking to make a pool as large as we could and then select from there, and that individual would go through the academy. The academy, the days in which we can bring somebody to the academy, it's fairly limited. There's one academy that starts in September, but we wouldn't be ready in time for that because of the recruitment process. The next one begins in January. So you have to pay them as they go through the academy. And since the academy would begin in January, we'd only be paying them for a little less than half a year. So that's why the amount is what's requested. And Chris can go on a little more about that. But as far as funding goes, the Board of Finance has really two options. You do have authority to go ahead and authorize the funding out of fund balance, or you can request back to the Board of Selectmen that it go to a town meeting and that the appropriation go from the town meeting. Or you can go back to them and say, we think it's a bad idea, we don't want to fund it at all. But those are the really three options that you can do.
Bob, if I might?
Yeah.
Because this didn't come through the regular budget process this spring, and because we only received the supporting documentation for it quite late this afternoon, I would like us to at least consider the possibility that we not make this decision until the August meeting. I think that it's a very serious commitment to add another officer, because it, obviously it's expensive. Once it's added, it will stay with us most likely forever. And you know, we really need to take a chance to look at your memo and consider very seriously the issues that you raised there. And it doesn't seem right to me, especially in a meeting that was called, you know, when we had thought this meeting was going to be canceled and was called at last minute, and then with us really not having a chance to have looked at your memo and given it the serious consideration it deserves. Unless there's some real emergency for why it needs to be done this month instead of August, I strongly encourage us to look at it next month.
One thing I would request, since the chief is here tonight, could you hear him out tonight while he's here? And if you want to wait, I mean, the recruitment process for somebody going in January would start, September, probably, because you're going to, you know, you put an ad out for September, October, November interviews, something in that time frame, December. So,
yeah, I don't want to waste the chief's time. Once we have him here, I absolutely think he should present to us, but I don't feel as if we would be in a very strong position to make that decision.
Sarah.
With due respect, I appreciate the work that obviously went into this. I agree with Katie. This came in at 4:33 this afternoon. I didn't see it till 5:15. So I haven't had a chance to really read it or think about it. I'm hesitant. I don't know what your schedule is, Chief, if we can get you back next month, but Ken is not with us. He is our vice chair, and I would like him to be present too, because this is effectively permanently adding somebody out of the budget cycle. And I would just feel more comfortable if we had our full contingent of board members.
If I can just make a couple of recommendations, I understand the timing and agree. The other ask I would have, Bill, if we can, because for us to know fund balance, because that's one of the options that you laid out, I would like to see where we're thinking fiscal year, you know, 2020-2021 is coming out, to know, is there any risk to the fund balance, you know, just getting our budget, because I think that will help us make a better recommendation back. But on the other hand, I do agree, if the chief is here, Ken can listen to the replay. Ken can't. And we can ask more questions of Bob next month, but let's, out of respect, maybe I recommend get a little bit, let us ask some questions in case if there's any items identified that we would like to have followed up by next month. That would be my thought or recommendation. Andrew, I'm sorry, I didn't see your hand.
Oh, no, you're fine. Let's just say we voted on this tonight. And what would be the next step of the process? Does that have to go back to Board of Selectmen?
Well, depends on what your vote is. I don't
say we voted yes, for example.
Yeah. Well, if you voted yes, it comes out of fund balance, then at that point, I think I said maybe it goes back to the board for a final vote, but then we'd be all set. Mm-hmm. If you say that yes, but you wanted the appropriation to be by way of the town meeting, then we'll go back to the Board of Selectmen. The Board of Selectmen would have to set the date and time for a town meeting.
Okay. So I'm just trying to get an idea of the timetable if we postpone this for another month.
Yeah.
How does that push back the timetable? Because it does have to go back to the Board of Selectmen.
I think there's time. I mean, if it goes back to the Board of Selectmen, well, especially if you approve appropriation, if it goes back to the board, I think that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
If they have to set a town meeting, I think you'd still have time, I assume.
Yep.
Yeah, you should. Because the recruitment is, 6 weeks, and then another 4 weeks for evaluation, something along those lines. So.
And then we're not going to make the September deadline for the police academy, so that's fine. You know, that's, you know, whatever that is, what it is. So we're shooting for the January deadline. What's the next deadline after that? If we miss January because we postponed a month, or we maybe postponed 2 months, if we miss January, when will be the next time?
Probably February or March.
February, March, okay. And with regards to fund balance, I'm not aware of anything that's endangering the fund balance. Am I correct? Or there's a rose or something on there that was taking a big chunk out of the fund balance? And then we transferred some funds from fund balance, right, to help hold down the taxes, help tell them the mill rate increase.
The things that I am aware of, but Bob and Bill definitely chime in, I think we have to understand PFAS mitigation because we're only protected up to 1 million.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're getting some information. So potentially there's an overage over 1 million on PFAS remediation that we need to understand. The other thing is I don't see anybody from the Board of Education here.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the governor, I know that there's things going on as we speak around recommendations as to how we return to school. And that was something that we had said we needed to better understand. We did not fund a lot of what they had originally asked for.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that they're coming back with a huge ask, but I would like to make a fully informed decision about our fund balance, would be my thoughts.
Okay.
Are there other things that I am not thinking of that require the usage of fund balance?
Well, so the benefit side would be, and I got to quickly talk about this too, but it's the COVID funds. Depending on how we utilize those COVID funds, that could be used to offset some costs that could be hitting the fund balance. For example, we talked about the air packs for the fire department as a possible cost this next fiscal year. And depending, again, how we take the COVID funds, and I explain that in a minute, that we may be able to pay for some of those things with the COVID funds. So you wouldn't be hitting fund balance for those things.
For all of them potentially, or maybe just some, is what we're thinking.
It depends on how you decide to do it. I mean, the biggest liability I know of coming up, PFAS may be one of them, but leaving PFAS aside, probably would be the bridge and then the air packs.
Mm-hmm.
In air packs, we do have a grant application out there. We're waiting to hear back. So they may be funded by a grant. But if not, we'd be looking for alternative funding for that.
Who's the bridge? I was asking. The COVID funds, I believe, keep coming until 2024, correct?
Well, they'll come in two batches. One is we already received $1.5 million. And the other is July of next year, June or July of next year, with another 1.5 million.
Could we apply that toward the new officer?
Yeah, actually you could if you wanted to. Again, when we go over to COVID, I'll go over that and explain to you what the uses and possibilities are.
But again, to keep the COVID fund will run out and the officer won't.
the way you phrased it was I think correct. I think if I was looking at this in your seat, I'd be looking at more from the addition of an officer than I would the 43,000.
Right.
I think that's the greatest impact and the one that I think the board, you know, correctly did analysis on. And every time I looked at it for the last couple of years, I was always my kind of thing too. So I think it's as much the commitment as it is the money. I think you're, you know, important to take a good look at it. And so if you want to put it off to August, I have no problem.
But I think to Katie's point, the statistics, I saw there were some in the memo. I just didn't get a chance to read the memo. I'm sorry. And so I haven't had a chance to kind of process, do I think we need a 14? And then that'd be my, so I think that's where, if we could hear some of that, ask some questions, read before the next meeting, we all might feel more comfortable. Andrew, did I see your hand on the corner of my eye?
Yes. Well, two things. One, the chief's going to speak. You know, I'm sure you're going to run through the memo, at least parts of it, maybe a high level review, maybe detailed, but speak to the memo, offer us more detail, because it was last minute. So I didn't even get a chance to read through the whole thing because my daughter started throwing a fit, something about shoes. I don't even know what it was. So I didn't even get a chance to finish reading the whole thing. However, but yeah, he's going to offer us a lot of detail tonight, which I think will provide a lot of insight and give us opportunity to dive deeper into this to make a more informed decision. Also, I would stress to the board also, you know, I see the costs here are probably the last page, 91,000 and some change.
That was if it was a full year.
It was a full year.
In January, it's 43.
Okay. But, you know, going forward, so if we hired somebody, right, then going after that first 43,000, this is what it would be going forward, 91,000 and some change. Of course, inflation will increase that number gradually over the years. You know, don't look at it as, you know, that's sure that's money, you know, taxpayer money that we're spending, but you also got to look at the flip side too. That's the cost, but what are we getting? What is the community getting in return for that? What benefits the community getting with the added safety, the you know, response to calls? I'm sure the chief will go over that. I read most of those bullet points that he included in the memo with regards to some of the responsibilities they're not really able to fulfill 100%, that there's need to fulfill 100%. And I think it's and you can tell that the chief is taking into account the fact that maybe they're slacking on some areas, not because of their fault, because they're having a little bit of a staffing issue. So to provide the services to the town that the town deserves, he's asking for the additional police officer. And I think, maybe 91,000 a year starting off for a full year, but the town's probably going to get a lot more back with that, a lot more back with regards to the benefit. So that's just my two thoughts on it.
Can I make a recommendation that we actually hear from the chief
at
this point?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. So listen, last month I presented before the Board of Selectmen, and I appreciated the deep dive they had in respect to our request, and they brought it before this board. We have not increased our authorized staffing for about 20 years now. And I think we can all agree in the last 6 months or so, maybe the last year, policing across this country and in the state has changed drastically. Canton needs to, step up the plate to be at a level that I think after 39 years, 28 with the state police and 11 year, that to have a staff of 14 patrol officers, that's 4 sergeants, that's 9 officers and 1 detective. That makes us ready, willing, and able to meet the demands of this community without having to worry about, do I have enough people to handle a crisis? Do I have enough people to have self-initiation on some of the issues that are brought to my attention from citizens in this community, from the Board of Selectmen, from Bob Skinner, and others. And to operate with just the number that we are operating on, because currently I'm down an officer from retirement. I have another officer overseas until January or so. So this has been a conversation that Bob and I have had over the years. Again, was it pressed early on? No, because I thought that we would be able to handle it. The last 6 months to a year with the George Floyd scenario, with all the police accountability, the new legislation that's coming forward, this emerging or continuing emergence of the juvenile crime that's affecting every single town. I have to do a presentation tomorrow on this. When you take a look at everything, and plus I have a number of officers exposed to retirement, there's a point in time when we're going to start taxing the officers too much, particularly the new demands that have been placed on the Canton Police Department. And I think we need to be at a patrol force of 14 officers, not 13, and not where it is currently, which is 11, because I'm down two officers who are not going to be replaced anytime soon, even though we are going through a process now to replace our detective. So if you looked at the memo, those who had a chance, you saw some of the issues. Again, it's been 20 years. The population of this town is growing. The commercial development is growing. Some of the residential housing that's coming to town. Look at Favor. The development of the Favor complex, if you want to call it on Commerce Drive, is going to generate a lot of activity. The bike trail, we make ourselves, a bike-friendly community. We've had incidents on the bike trail. If I were able to have my bike officers go out on patrol and not have to, drive the cruiser on patrol, that omnipresence, citizens seeing a bike officer on a bike on the bike trails as we're trying to establish and improve our bike-friendly community, this sends a very strong message that we mean public safety. Again, I have a number of officers who are at the retirement age or close to it. And as you lose those officers, it takes time to start rebuilding the command staff. We have a lateral process going in now. We have a female candidate who put in. She just called today to say she took a job somewhere else. So these are we're basically being challenged with every department in the state to hire manpower to get the right people to come on the job. We are part of a North Central Connecticut Municipal Police Compact, which means that we share officers and assignments with the 9 North Central towns. That's the drone program, the accident reconstruction team, the SWAT team. I can't place officers on those regional task force because I got to maintain our patrol function here. I'm also worried about when we get called out for a shooting or some type of acting aggressive scenario. I'm worried that I'm always running with maybe 2 or 3 officers on patrol. To have that one extra officer, particularly work the evening shift, I think is a real force multiplier for the public safety of this community. That's why I think it's so compelling to act on it now. A month might not seem like a lot here, but again, that those scheduling slots, because every department is short, filling up fast. And if you sort of wait and you wait, you keep pushing it down the road, I may lose the January date, I may lose the February date. I don't know, but those are the concerns that I have moving forward on this concern. That police accountability, the cannabis law that just came down, it's going to impose a really significant impact on how police conduct business moving forward, the juvenile crime situation, even just stopping motor vehicles with some of the inability for us to ask for consent. A lot's changed. How does that impact the Canton Police Force? I have to send officers back for more training, whether it's the normal mandatory training or all this new training on the new laws that have been passed by a legislature. That means the officers are away from Canton to attend training. And that means that I don't get the full effect of having that extra officer to work on some type of specialized detail or do any type of self-initiation police work. I know Bob can elaborate that, and Bob's here as well. We had a very interesting neighborhood meeting up in K Street of a continuing issue with speeding vehicles. And again, it takes manpower to really fully address the concerns of the 50 or so people that showed up for that neighborhood meeting. It's not just isolated K Street. Those little hotspots pop up all over town. So if we put a lot of effort on K Street, I can tell you 4 other places in the town have an equally compelling argument that you want to see more of the police presence. I'd love to be able to have that 3rd or 4th officer on a day shift or an evening shift, being able to address these hotspots. It's the public safety. And so when I have moms and dads calling up because they're worried about their kids riding their bikes or walking on streets and things like that, I know we're addressing these hotspots contemporaneous to the complaint, not months later. There's it's a laundry list of other things. Crime's getting more sophisticated. I can't tell you. We get these fraud cases that come in. People typically walk through the front door of the Canton Police. So I got to pull the guy off the road, and they're very detailed because there's a lot of computer work that has to go into these computer fraud cases. They're typically not local. They're probably nationally or globally that they have to work on. That takes time. You hear all about after this police accountability, they call it the social service in policing, where the public must have expectation that will be more of a social service person as opposed to an enforcer. Again, that takes time to send guys to be trained as crisis intervention officers, to take time to some of the emerging drug use, alcohol use, and other substance abuse, and mental health issues. Again, I don't have the ability to get a social service person to come out 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it probably wouldn't work anyway in a small town. But again, our officers are well trained. Again, until I have that extra officer, we get taxed at times to the point where we're not as effective as we possibly can be if I just have that one extra officer move forward. I'll take any questions, comments, criticism, concerns about, you know, my position on that.
Chief, I have one question for you. That sounds like a very compelling argument. Why didn't you close it during the budget cycle and put it into the budget?
Sure. Now that question was presented to me. Again, I've had discussions with Bob about this again. And again, I agreed after our discussions that the timing wasn't necessarily then to push the issue. I can tell you with the juvenile threat issues that's been coming up, the cannabis laws, some of the other police accountability, the mandatory drug testing, psychological testing of officers, that almost ramped up rather quickly from the George Floyd to where I was when I presented to the Board of Selectmen this idea, and that same question was asked. Was it as an important of an issue back in September and October? I put my budget together. It was always there. We were always able to work through it because I didn't have an officer all of a sudden prior, didn't have an officer get exposed to 12 months overseas serving the country. And I also realized that the other officers coming up for retirement, it's happening. So, and you hear more of them talking about that. And I got to be honest, there's no way I can gauge whether or not there's a current officer. We have some great officers who might not be looking elsewhere if the opportunity presents itself. Again, we lost a great candidate from everything I heard about this officer. And one of the issues was some benefit part of a different department that was very powerful to that person. And we're no longer sure for the interview I had scheduled for Thursday. So that's the reason why it wasn't more forcefully addressed and presented during my responsibility during my budget presentation.
Yeah, there's just two things on that. One is Chris has requested this and you don't have it. Probably a good part, my fault. But, you know, when you're looking at the whole budget package and you're trying to review everything, you just can't put everything in the budget. You've also requested an additional dispatcher, too, and we've, you know, discussed those. And someday you may see that come, although I think we'd look at regional dispatch closer before we go to the fifth dispatcher. So, especially, I mean, this has come up. We have discussed it. We just haven't gotten there. The other point I would say is that it is a frustration, the part about us not being able to recruit some of the officers that we'd like to have here. That's come up more than you would think. We've gone after certain candidates. We've offered things to certain candidates, and it's hard for us to compete with some of the larger towns. We just don't have the ability for people to move up to higher grades here because there's only so many of them. And it's just that opportunity elsewhere that they don't have here. And that's been a source of frustration. I'm disappointed to hear, you know, that the other candidate I know that we're taking a look at is just not elsewhere. That is a problem, but I'm like 100% sure what we do about it. But we have very good candidates. We have very good officers, but it has been difficult to recruit some of the candidates that we wanted.
And a couple other things really quickly, and I'll stop talking. You know, when you have a lot of overtime, it does have an impact on the officer's morale, their health, and again, an ordered in. Again, not there because so far we're managing it, but, you know, particularly during summertime, this town is just hopping. That river tubing, I know, Sarah, you were sort of involved in some of the conversation, and Bessel's been handling that river access study. This is a destination location in this town. It's not just there. It's Collinsville. I heard about all the people that show up from the conference on Main Street and stuff. It's hard to have those one or two officers literally, you know, cover everything. We had a horrible case on Sunday night of a suicide involving a firearm. And again, I had just two guys in a horrible weather condition, had to spend their entire half their shift just handling that scenario. They had their other officers. My point is that when you're bringing guys in, some of the older guys who might be ready for retirement says, hey, I need to keep getting ordered in and on overtime, expecting to have my first Friday night off in a while or Saturday night with family. And that affects morale. It makes people make decisions that may not be in the best interest of the Canton Police Department or the town of Canton. And frankly, we've seen the pandemic, whether it's from COVID or some of the weather, there's something going on that's really interesting because that the pandemic and the weather really have an impact on the Canton Police Department, how we have to, you know, marshal guys up, myself on the Capitol, roll off the storms, we'll drive around, help clear roads and things like that. But even just covering the town during the entire COVID period. So things are changing. It's not just the laws, It's a perception people have about the police officers, which frankly is misplaced, if you ask me, in my 39 years of doing this. And then some of the things that are beyond our control. But who's the first responder? It's a Camden police officer. We love doing what we do. We run to the zone of danger, not away from it. But it's nice if I knew I had an officer, you know, at my side, not, you know, 20 minutes away, we had to call him up and say, you need to come to work for the emergency. That extra officer, particularly on the evening shift, makes this town where it is today. And we don't want to lose that, because once you lose it, it's harder to get it back. That's why I think it's so important. I think the Board of Selectmen saw it, Bob Skinner certainly saw it, to get that process started. Again, the money doesn't get expended until January, but allows us to really pour over the candidates, reach out to the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives, Connecticut Police Women's Association, and other, you know, organizations that will help us on our diversity objectives, if you will. Again, you always want the best candidate who's going to wear this uniform. They're the ones that are saving your lives, clearing the roads, things like that. And it gets harder. I'm looking at two officers, oftentimes on a weekend night during summertime.
Gotcha. Two things. One, as you mentioned just now, issues of the social services of policing, the increase in mental health and drug use issues that you come across. I noticed in the brief glance I was able to take at your memo that you listed among the many things that your officers have to do was helping people install infant seats in cars, things like that. And also that there's a great deal more paperwork that you're dealing with for a variety of reasons. Given all of that, and given what we're seeing at a number of other police departments in Connecticut, there have been a few articles about this recently in the paper. There are departments that are hiring social workers in their police departments rather than uniformed officers. And perhaps dealing with some of those issues that you're referring to as sort of social services of policing issues. And I wonder if that's something that Canton should consider as a way to free up uniformed officers.
So the post academy sort of covers all the training and the curriculum policies for the entire state. Ask all the departments to weigh in on what they thought about that aspect. Now, certainly if I was a Waterbury or Hartford, to have a social worker maybe embedded in the police department might make sense because of the volume of the calls. Canton's not going to work that way. You'll probably pay a lot more than what I'm asking for social work to cover this town 24/7, 365 days. The incident I talked about over the weekend occurred, I think, at 2:30 in the morning. Again, if our officers have to wait at the scene for the social worker to show up, you know, times are sometimes the worst enemy of the police officer.
I don't think I was talking about waiting for a social worker to show up. I was perhaps talking about a regular hours full-time social worker who could free up officers for other things some of the time.
If we can make sure all the calls that came in for social services part of it, again, whether it's, you know, the alcoholic who's having a problem and calling up the emergency services to the ambulance, but we show up first. If I can always make sure they only call Monday through Friday, 8 to 4, it would work. As we all can appreciate, most of these calls come in all the time. There's no pattern to any of them. And again, we have officers that are phenomenal. Some of their MRT skills, some of them are crisis intervention trained. They handle Narcan cases and things like that. And even in mental health, they've been to a lot of these situations. They've established relationships with some of these people. There's one person in particular, won't go into any great detail, but can be very aggressive. But there's certain officers that when he sees them on scene, it completely de-escalates the scenario. You might not have that with the social worker maybe over time, but again, you're still going to have a problem that, look, if we wanted an SRO, we didn't get the SRO, because we see what's going on in these schools. And again, we're trying to work on a threat assessment protocol in the schools. Without having an SRO, it's harder to implement. We're going to keep on working on it. But I think the best bang you get is the police officer, because he's there all the time. He has all the tools that he needs them. He has the instant communication. He has the experience. And I just think it's makes much more effectiveness and efficient use of town's dollars to have another police officer as opposed to a social worker trying to figure out what's the best time to employ that social worker.
We also make referrals to the social services now all the time. They work very closely with the police
department. But a number, really quite a few police departments are heading in this direction. And I think it's something that we should continue to consider as a town and going forward. I guess my other more general question is, you referred a couple of times to the George Floyd scenario and to the way that what happened with George Floyd was a reason why you need an additional officer here in Canton. I'm not really sure how I see that connection, and I would love to hear how you elaborate on that.
Yep. So again, I think what prompted this whole thing was a combination of the George Floyd, the police accountability legislation.
What do you mean by the George Floyd?
Well, again, after they saw that, people all, you know, grouped entire police departments and police officers as horrible people. You know, you saw a lot of, I think, might be personally, some, I don't want to call it knee-jerk legislation, but legislation that probably wasn't vetted through police departments like it could have been, and through post the training academy. So they pushed a lot out. So as you know, and maybe you don't know, but we're now forced to do psychological testing and drug testing. So I went to the psychological testing, I passed it, so if anybody has any concerns about that. But now that's going to happen every year or every few years for the drug testing and the psychological testing. That was all born out of the George Floyd situation. Again, when I have to send an officer to go see a psychologist or psychiatrist and get drug tested, that's time out of the town of Canton. There's also new legislation that was a product of the George Floyd incident. You know, taking away the consent searches, the use of force on de-escalation, the whole thing on qualified immunity. So all these are going to require new training components that's going to increase the time that the Canton police officers are away from the town patrolling streets to be at the academy or some other satellite location to be trained on. So it's, that's the part of it. Also, to some extent, there's some people that, you know, now question the officers more. So I think our officers probably spend more time, you know, building back that rapport, if you will, the bridge. And again, we have a great task. So it doesn't manifest itself as much here as it does in other places when I talk to other chiefs. But, you know, take a look at the paper. You see it happening all over the country. And again, it's because one horrible person who deserves to spend the rest of his life in jail, the rest of us should not be branded in that you know, wide brush of it. It's been happening. So that's why I think that's part of this, because that accountability legislation, they didn't listen to the police officers. But we are going to respond to it appropriately, and that takes time to do so.
Just a couple of things. I think we're getting into a discussion about police staffing models, which I think is a very worthwhile one. But that's really the province of a policymaking board, you know, like the Board of Selectmen. What we have tonight is really a question of how responsive the current police department can be, and how the addition of a police officer can increase that responsiveness, and what the public's expectation is for response to in a situation. I think what the chief and Bob are saying is that the public's expectations for service, for police service, you know, emergency service, really what they're talking about, has gone up. And that means, you know, and I see it quite a bit. People expect that if they call me or write to me at 6:30 at night on a Friday night, you know, they want to know by 8:30 on Friday night why I didn't get back to them. Right? Now, that's unusual, but it's not as unusual. You know, we are expected, you know, and police officers particularly, you know, somebody calls in, that somebody's going to get back to them and treat them appropriately. And the definition of appropriate has, you know, the expectation for appropriate has gone up. You know, it's not, you know, it's not just go in with guns blazing, it's assess the situation, de-escalate the situation, you know, treat it appropriately. There's a lot more to it, and there's more training involved. There's a whole range of things that the Chief Arciero has alluded to here. So these are just part of the reasons why why the request came in and why the Board of Selectmen took it very seriously.
With, if you don't mind if I comment, with all due respect, I appreciate the conversation. I agree that we need to understand this. My question was very similar to Sarah's. I don't understand why, because I don't think this expectation of the public suddenly has come up since we were finalizing our budget in April. I feel like we should have, because we worked very hard as a Board of Finance to get to consensus on what was an increase that we felt was appropriate. I would have liked to have had this discussion during that time. Because I am thinking of, and Andrew, I agree with you. It's, you know, $43,000 is probably something that the budget could handle for this year. And but we're increasing a staffing level and we're increasing a year over year, $90,000. I don't know the percentage to the town budget, but when we get to next year's budget, that's just going to be an automatic increase. And someone's going to say, well, we approved that increase in the police. What I'd like to better understand is what's the offset potential or what's the benefit to the town somewhere else? Where is that cost benefit? You mentioned overtime. I think that was something that we asked around the dispatcher. We said if we would just, would it be cheaper to just have a fifth dispatcher and could you have less overtime? I think at the time of the budget, the answer was no, it doesn't work that way. We've looked at this. So, you know, but I would ask the same question because I feel like the police overtime line is also going up. And to your point, no one likes to get called up on the Friday night. So, but do we think not this year, not this budget, because I get it, you got to send somebody through the academy, but long term, is there an overtime savings that the town might see by approving this that would help us get more comfortable?
And indeed, could we have a commitment in that direction?
I don't know. So I don't know if we've looked at overtime and the long term impact of that. Again, I'm not looking at next fiscal year or this fiscal year. I'm more once the person's out of the academy.
I mean, the problem with the overtime is there's things that impact it other than just total force that's permitted. We have a person who's on deployment right now because they're also in the military. We couldn't have predicted that a year and a half ago.
No.
We have people that go on a worker comp. We have people that go on a paternity leaves. We have, you know, there are a myriad of reasons why people go out. But when they do, there are times that we have to backfill their positions. And we can't. You know, I can't make a commitment that, hey, bring on this person overtime, won't increase in the next 5 years. We still know that because there's so many other factors that make that determination. I will tell you, I think when this concept was pitched a while ago, it was pitched as a way of significantly decreasing overtime. And when I looked at it, I didn't think that was going to happen. I think it will have some impact on overtime. I think if you're going to add the officer, you're going to do it because we need those services. That it's time because of the level of activity in town, because like Chris and others have said, the expectation of the public that we need the additional services. If you're going to try to say, well, we'll only use if it's going to save money, I don't think you're ever going to get there. I think it's essentially we made a decision and we may want to make a commitment to the people of Canton that we want to do our best to make them safe and provide a service to them which is needed and they expect, and we can't do that with our current staff. That at this point in time, we agree it's time to move to the next level.
So I'm trying to tease apart the immediate problem of now and maybe for the coming year of having absences and, you know, due to deployment, due to paternity or maternity leave, due to illness, which has left you short-staffed, versus adding a full-time permanent person and having people approaching retirement. You know, this is a typical thing that businesses and school systems face. People age out, they leave, and suddenly you've got holes that you need to fill, and it's very hard to find qualified people to fill them. It's a classic thing, it comes in waves, and you try to anticipate them, but you can't always anticipate them. I think you're in that position now, that right now you are short-staffed because of people who are missing. What's really not clear to me is whether hiring a new permanent full-time position, which clearly will help with this short-term problem, whether that's needed in the long-term or whether it's a stopgap measure.
Can I just comment on that? Overseeing what Chief Arciero articulated in the memo is that the nature of the business of the town is changing. The Axe Factory is going to get developed, and that's going to drive a lot of traffic into town. We have a lot of other developments happening in town that are driving traffic into town and will continue to. As things come back to quote unquote normal, the events that we had, such as the Halloween parade, the concerts, all of these activities are expanding the number of people that come into town, the river tubing, river access that we're talking about, all of that. This last year we put police officers in an overtime situation to handle the excess traffic there. This year, the tubing concessionaire volunteered to pay for those officers. We didn't know that was coming. But there's more people coming to town for a lot of reasons. So yeah, this is not just a temporary situation that I see. This is an increase in the general level of activity that does require additional police coverage.
And unfortunately, John, can we wait? John has raised his hand. I'd like to let our virtual participant actually opine. I was going to actually ask if you could hear John, so hopefully you're not going to hear us.
Thank you. I just wanted to see if that worked. No, I'm just kidding. Quick question, I guess, Chief Arciero, you did mention the school resource officer, and I guess just wondering, I know without someone from the Board of Ed here, where that fits in, if that is still being discussed, and part of that is that I know that obviously with the school is not 12 months out of the year, and my understanding was that they would provide some assistance when school was not in session. So I guess, does the school resource officer, is that still being discussed? And does that somehow fit into any of this discussion?
I don't believe the school resource officer is being discussed. However, I can tell you that we are still conducting our code red drills. We're still attending all the district and the school-wide security meetings. Again, if you look at all the literature on any of these active shooter scenarios in schools, they didn't just wake up that morning and go out there and commit the act. It's a long-term process. That's why I talked about a little earlier, the threat assessment protocol. Again, the best way to develop that threat assessment protocol and be part of a cooperative effort with the school nurses, psychologists, and the school staff is to have a school resource officer. Again, and kids so small that we rotate officer, through the three different school buildings. It really would be it's a phenomenal way to address and stop the threat becoming a manifestation of a horrible incident without having that school resource officer. We're doing a sort of piecemeal with the officers who have to be on duty that particular day. And again, I thought one of the concepts of that school resource officer is not during the 180 days while they're in school developing those relationships at all three school buildings, but during the summertime they'd come back to patrol, and that would be helpful. But that didn't pan out the way I would have hoped it would. And so we're just doing it the way we're currently doing it, and maybe that gets revisited down the road. But again, I think the most important aspect is policing changed drastically in the last 6 months from a year. And that's the reason why, maybe this wasn't so aggressively addressed or sought after earlier on. It's changed pretty quickly. Talk about the omnipresence. Look at all the thefts going on in the car. Some towns are putting officers on a midnight shift that be out there in an unmarked car. I don't really have that ability. Maybe that this extra officer could be out there, would free up the guys having to respond to medical calls, minimum policing calls, like domestic violence calls. I'd have that extra officer to address the hot spots that pop up and down every once in a while.
Yes, thank you.
One of your bullet points, talk about fatigue of the officer. It's one of the, maybe like the fifth from the bottom or so. Excessive overtime causes fatigue and absenteeism and such. Now, correct me, let me ask you, with fatigue, that definitely contributes to police officers' morale. If they're fatigued, morale, you would typically see morale go down, correct?
Sure.
could you see, is it possible to see an increase in mistakes either committed by the police officer, whether they maybe overlook a detail in an investigation and the investigation doesn't pan out the way the victim wanted to. They know for a fact they have a crime is committed against them, but the police officer misses a detail, or maybe the police officer, I don't want to say harms an individual, but just makes a mistake.
That's a great point. And what's unique of how that really sort of becomes more of an issue in Canton, we don't have a department where the frontline patrol officers goes to a scene that dishes it off to a detective or specialized unit. These officers basically take the case from start to finish. Mm-hmm. So that fatigue builds in. Again, these cases aren't simple. You know, even the old accident report used to be one page. Now the state of Connecticut has a 12 or 13 page file report form. Now again, that's just an accident. So you mess up on the insurance information, not too bad, but you get a detailed case, the detective's not available, and you own that case from start to finish. That fatigue can affect maybe the way the victim or family members or witnesses, you know, think, well, he doesn't really seem like he's committed to this matter. Mm-hmm. Again, it could be because he's working 5 or 7 days in a row now. He's worked 2 doubles the last 2 days. It does have a huge impact. And then that's a concern I have. Again, right. It's not just how the public sees it, but I worry about the officer's safety.
Yeah.
Two babies in the last 3 or 4 months. These are young fathers, young families. And I don't want them to hurt either.
Mm-hmm. Right. Then something else, a comment that I wanted to make. And from what I've understand, I know a police officer, a good friend of mine, he used to work in Newington, recently went over to Rocky Hill. And then I also had a family member, who was my father's cousin, used to work in Newington, Peter Lavery. And for those who don't know what happened to Peter, this is an example of how quickly things can change on a police officer, even in a situation where they feel comfortable, and how fatigue can set in and really kind of help them lower their guard down, I think, even more. But what happened with my father's cousin, he was responding to a domestic violence call. It was towards the end of his shift, from what I understand. I guess he could have gone back to the police station and had an oncoming shift, police officer from an oncoming shift handle it. However, he knew where the call was. He knew the individual being accused of domestic violence. I don't know if it was his girlfriend or if it was his wife, but either way, it was a domestic issue. And he's responded to this house before for domestic violence. And he knows the individual. He may have even arrested him before. I have no idea. So because he knew the individual, he thought he had that rapport with him. He'll go talk to him, maybe arrest him, maybe not. But he'll go and kind of insert that level of expertise. Plus, he was a very experienced police officer. On top of it, he was a master police officer. So he'd been with Newington for quite a long time. Long story short, when he gets there, he's told that individual, the man, whoever, who, I don't know his name, was down and he was still in his house, and he was in the basement. Apparently he was the only one in the house at the time. What someone failed to tell him was that that man had a gun down in the basement. And my dad's cousin, Peter, didn't know. And he goes down the stairs, talk to him. I guess he called the guy's name. Hey, so-and-so, Officer Lavery, Newington PD, I'm coming down, I just want to talk to you. And before Peter even got down the end of the stairs, he was shot, and the bullet went to his vest. So, and he died. So down there in the basement. So that's how quickly something can change. He thought he was going to talk to him. He's talked to that guy before. So, you know, to sit here and to kind of talk about numbers and this and that, oh, it should have come to us, during the regular budget process. Why didn't it? You know, it's still going to be an issue next year. So it's going to come to us next year on the regular budget process. It can come to us in even more of a strenuous situation where maybe now we've had a retirement on top of that. So now we have 2 positions we need to fill, or maybe an upcoming retirement. The first individual officially announced their retirement retentions. So we have 2 positions we need to fill, not just one. And where police officers are here in town, a small department is being strained even more. So I'm fully in favor of approving this, $43,000 some change to get this ball rolling, knowing that in the coming years, you know, next full year, it will be $91,000, a little over $91,000, and and taking on that additional individual on the town payroll. So I'm fully support doing this right now. That's my opinion.
I saw Katie's hand raised.
No. I'm very sorry for your father's cousin's loss.
This is how quickly things can change. And if you tack on fatigue, like the chief said, my friend Dan, who was in Newington, now in Rocky Hill, there was definitely times when he did an 8-hour shift. He had 4 hours off. He had to go back to do another, at least another 4-hour shift, because in Newington, the way their overtime worked, they didn't have to do a full 8 hours. If there was an 8-hour shift that had to be filled, they could do the first four or the second four. They want to do the whole eight, they by all means, and you know, no one objected to that. So he would do his normal 8-hour shift, be off for 4 hours. He always worked third. He'd work all night, be off for 4 hours, and then he'd back on again for at least another four on top of that. So yeah. Fatigue is a big issue.
I know this is hard for us, right? Because we care. We have to remember that it is the Board of Selectmen who set the policy. It's the Board of Selectmen who are making the recommendation as to what's there. It's ours to determine if, can afford this officer, and both in this current fiscal year. And then to your point, Andrew, it's going to be part of the discussion next year. I will take recommendations and a motion from the board if people would like to vote today. I did talk to Bob in advance of the meeting. I respect the fact that you want to get going, but I did hear from Bob that if we needed to wait until August because we weren't comfortable, we could wait until August just to see the whole picture. I'm trusting Bob's recommendation on that one from a timing perspective. I would like the Board of Selectmen, if we would move forward to this, to think of what are some things that we can cut. I know that's not the fun part of the budget process, but more looking and getting ready for next year's budget, because I'm not sure that, fiscally, just continuing to add heads. And maybe our grand list will support the growth that you're referring to, Bob. I think that's the hard part, right? Our town is changing. We need to see our town changing in the way of revenue as much as we need the way of our town changing in other ways. I mean, that is our job, is to make Canton affordable for its residents.
And it's wonderful that we have more visitors to the town, and I think that makes us a very vibrant and lively place. But unless and until the changes have an impact on who's living here and paying property taxes here, we're looking at having to support those activities that bring in more visitors without having more revenue with which to do it. And that's obviously you and the Economic Development Agency and a lot of people are trying to work on that as well. But we are at the moment trying to do those things without.
So hopefully we'll continue our trend of 1%, 1.07% last year 1.44. This past year, we'll continue on that trend.
Oh, growth in the grand list, you mean?
The growth in the grand list. So we are seeing some change that way. I think the opening of Whole Foods is going to bear fruit for us too. It's a huge advertisement for the folks who live in this area and the extra cash that they have available. Buying habits are very well known to retailers all over the place. There are a number of businesses in town that I know are expanding pretty rapidly. So, but again, I understand that the job of this board is to look at what's actually in the till as opposed to what someone like me says, here it's coming, so I get it.
Yeah, I'll go ahead, Sarah.
I was going to say that I think we all very much appreciate what the police do, and it's a dangerous job. It's a stressful job. It's a hard job, and so this is not any judgment about the value of a police officer or any of the officers we currently have or your staff. The question really is one of money and of timing, and I think too of transparency. We haven't really gotten a chance to really read your memo, although I think we now know the gist of it. I've been to enough town meetings over the years when people have been standing up at the mics and talking about the budget to know that adding a full-time officer could potentially draw some fire from the public. And this can look like a back-end run as opposed to putting it in the budget. And I understand that that's not what this is, that's not the intention here. the town has changed, and I think you have a very defensible argument as to why it's needed now and why it didn't get put in February. But there will be people, I think, that deserve to hear that and get a chance to speak. So by doing this tonight, it wasn't really on our agenda in terms of what we were going to be looking at. I mean, I know it was on the agenda, but it was at a meeting that wasn't supposed to be held. So I just am uncomfortable that it wasn't publicly noticed well enough. And I really do want to look at our general fund money, make sure we've got enough. So we do have a number of things coming down the pipe. We just need to look and make sure we can afford it. So I'm going to suggest that we hold off on a vote until next month. I think he makes some really good arguments. I think that we probably in the end will get support for this, but I think we need to have a little bit more time to look at the numbers and think about it.
The development's going on behind, what's the, right there on the corner?
Paddle and Paws.
Apartments, some commercial retail. What's the estimated bump to our grand list dollar-wise?
I don't remember. I don't think you'll see enough construction there prior to October 1st. So we'll
get, I know it'll be a while. Yeah, it'll be a while. Maybe even a couple years down the road.
It's 100 units. Do you remember, Bob, offhand? I don't remember.
I don't know the total dollar.
You know, it is significant, but you can't. I still say you can't tie it to a particular development. It's either the time is right, we need the service, or we don't.
My point is that I think it's probably gonna be more than $91,016 a year.
Sure.
That we'll get. It's apartments. So my understanding is apartments don't typically draw in a lot of children. It's usually the single family homes, maybe multi-units, like a duplex perhaps. So we should not see at least a significant increase in our school population with the added people moving into town. So I would suspect we wouldn't see a big increase to the Board of Ed budget with added students. So, in terms of, is this affordable? Yes, I think it is affordable. We do have a development that is currently started that will be finished. You know, keep our fingers crossed. I know some things can happen, but the fact that ground has been broken, the site is being prepared, is definitely an excellent sign. I'm not going to put all my hopes in the Axe Factory as of yet, but it's certainly looking promising. That's definitely added revenue to the town if that whole development were officially go through and be completed. So it's added revenue to town. We can definitely afford $91,016. I understand that Pedal and Paws project back there might not be finished for a couple of years. So in terms of the full year's revenue, it might take a little bit. So maybe in the short term, first year, perhaps we would have to come up with that added cash. But going forward for perpetuity, I think it will be fine going forward. And then in terms of public not knowing, so I think I would disagree with that. Yeah, it was last minute. You know, this is all given to us. However, this is a public meeting. The minutes are available. If we approved this tonight and it went through and the process started hiring and the public had an issue with it, you know, they could let us know. They can come in public comment and tell us. They can get emails and let us know. They can also tell us, you know, we don't want you in for another term if anyone decided to run for another term. So, like I said, I fully support approving this tonight for $43,000 and some change.
Jen raised a lot of really important questions about whether we would be funding it from fund balance, what some of the other things that are coming up that we might need the fund balance for would be. The other option is funding it by going to a town meeting, which would be definitely a way to give townspeople to weigh in on it. It seems to me that delaying it by 1 month, which we've heard still allows most likely the department to stay on the schedule of doing the hiring in January if it were approved in August. It really allows a lot of those questions to be answered. It seems like the responsible way to handle such a major financial decision rather than rushing it, really given that we only got the memo late this afternoon. So the benefit to waiting 1 month seems to me to outweigh the cost of that minor delay.
John, do you have any comments on timing? Otherwise, I would entertain a motion to either vote on this tonight or to delay until the month of August. So John, I'll ask, I see you unmuted.
Yep, I'm muted, yep. I definitely see both sides of I wouldn't call it an argument, the issue. I think it's pretty clear that it's needed. But I can also see that having not come through the budget process that we just completed or the town voted on, could be a little suspect to some. So I guess from the standpoint of, can we afford it and today, and can we afford it going forward? I think the answer is yes. So just from that standpoint, I could support it tonight if we were to vote on it.
Just make just one more comment. I think it's important. Sorry, I appreciate you said that. It's a difficult job. This really isn't necessarily about the police. When I'm out to the scene of that armed robbery at the AT&T store, see a 50-year-old woman mostly distraught about what happened to her. Never happened in the 11 years I've been here. We had four guys blazing into a store with guns drawn. And I say to myself, would that have happened if there was another black and white cruiser, maybe patrolling the shops or on 44? Because these guys who were involved in that have gone to other places. So we talk about the omnipresence. So when I have two officers who might be tied up on Ramp Road and somebody party at the river, there's nobody on 44, and that crime of opportunity is there. To see that woman that night, this $46,000 is pales in comparison to what she went through, what her husband went through when he was there, and what the employee did when he gets beat up by these armed assailants. And I'm thinking, would that have happened had it been an extra cruiser up in 44? Again, that shops is the economic jewel of this town. You can't lose it. And then shocked that things occurring and armed robberies. They all walked in there with guns. They beat up one of the kids, threw the woman down. It was for 39 years. That bothered me to know, you can't believe this money is important. This issue didn't happen during the budget season. It happened 2 months ago in this town. In this town, it should have happened. I always kick myself. Bob and the wife like to get involved in everything. Sometimes for the shit of the guys, but that's what I signed up for. And to see that happen, and we can maybe solve it. $46,000, I have the money to pay it myself. Just my thoughts.
Okay. I think the matter at hand is to either have a motion to vote on this tonight or to delay until another month. I'm looking for someone to please make a motion.
What's the dollar amount? 43,000, 46,000?
46,294.
I'd like to make a motion for the Camp Board of Finance to approve the amount of money of $46,294 to come from fund balance. And correct me if someone stop me if my verbiage is a little off on this, to come from fund balance to
appropriate from fund balance, the fund to get an officer to get in January.
Yeah, to fund.
So make sure you say it's an appropriation that would come from fund balance.
Yeah, to come from fund balance. Yes, yeah, $46,294 to come from fund balance to fund the addition of one additional patrol officer for the Camp Police Department.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Discussion on
the. Sorry. Discussion on the recommendation and motion, please.
I am very torn because I think we're letting your obvious need and the emotions that go with that interfere with our financial being counting responsibilities, because I do not see the numbers in front of me right now for the fund balance. So I really am feeling nervous about the bridge, about the PFAS, about the Board of Ed coming in, because it could be Kevin Kay sitting in here saying, we have another 20 kindergartners coming in, we've got to have a new kindergarten teacher, and we didn't see it coming, or we have a new special ed kid that's $250,000 kid that we have to fund. And we see these kind of emergencies coming in all the time. And we try very, very hard during the budget season. We spend lots and lots of time going through the minutia of the budget to make sure it's balanced. And don't for a minute think I'm not in support of your need. I hear it and I think it's important and I think we can't afford it, but I really would feel more comfortable doing it next month. And it sounds like waiting a month isn't going to delay you, isn't going to hurt you. if it were, I'd be 100% behind voting for it tonight. But I feel like we're not doing the town its fiscal, the responsible job that we have to do if we vote on this tonight. So that's my feeling about this.
I ask one question. If this motion fails tonight, can the board take it up again next month?
I don't see why not, because if this fails, I'll then put in a motion to pick it up for next month.
I was just going to say, somebody on the winning side would have to make a motion to reconsider. So if you voted against it, you could make a motion to reconsider for the next meeting.
Is there a way to just amend the motion?
Or table?
Table the motion?
Well, that would depend on.
No, that's what you're voting on.
If the motion's going forward, then the motion's going forward. If you draw it, then it can be tabled.
Yeah, I'm fine keeping the motion as is. If the motion gets voted down, there is a new business bullet point on every meeting for the agenda items. We can bring it up in the subsequent meeting. I'm doing voting on this tonight, so I want to leave my motion as it is.
Bob, I just want to make sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. If it's voted, your intent is to bring up the exact same motion again and vote on it.
But I wouldn't bring it up, right? It would have to be the member of the
right. So you just. You're relying on somebody if the motion fails, and your hope is somebody wants to bring it up to reconsider it.
No, yep. I will.
From the winning side.
If it fails.
Yeah.
Okay. Then plan on, if it did fail, then it will be on the agenda, I guess, on the motion to reconsider, I think, something along those lines.
Would that motion to reconsider be made tonight, or would that motion to reconsider be made at next month's meeting?
Yeah, good question. I think you could make it tonight.
Yeah. I think it has to be made tonight.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be, but yeah. It could be, and that might give comfort to those.
Well, make our ability to do the agenda a little easier.
Yeah.
Okay. So there is currently a motion on the table that has been seconded by John to for the amount of $46,294 to be appropriated from the general fund balance to fund an officer to start at the academy in January. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 There's two opposed. Three. Okay, so the motion failed. Any further discussion on this?
Can I make a motion?
Yes, please.
I'd like to move a reconsideration of that authorization for the amount of money, $43,000, the amount
$46,294.
For that amount at the August meeting.
Second.
Any discussion on that? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you. And I would just like to go on record as making a request that we have a general fund balance recommendation, just so we can get comfortable and understand. And our town meeting, potentially, we can make sure that Kevin and Julie know we need to understand what, if anything, the situation is for staffing schools in the fall. And will we have a town bridge estimate at that point, do we believe?
I can't guarantee you that. I mean, I can give you some rough estimate, but
I think
we're still getting invoices in, and there's still issues with that.
Well, didn't they deliver the wrong bridge?
Yeah, they did. They're constructing the wrong bridge right now.
Yeah.
Can we just
it's
keep
made
that
out of metal
like
from China?
Across the bridge, across the river.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it. I'd like to move us. Thank you very much, Chief, for the presentation and the information
tonight.
Good night.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And once again, Chief, that our postponing is not a lack of work for police. It's a fiscal responsibility.
All right. Next agenda topic is an update on receipts and process for distribution of the local fiscal recovery funds.
Okay. If I may, as We spoke about it earlier. The town has received the first group of funds. It's 1.5 million. We'll receive another 1.5 million next year. The couple of issues have come up around this, and we've talked about it. We're getting a little more clarity. One is there any certain approval process we have to go through to actually accept the money? And the town attorney and CCM is both concurred and said no. That it's as if, for example, all of a sudden we got $2 million for LOSIP. We don't need a special town meeting in order to approve that. Essentially, just funding that you receive based around because it's a non-competitive grant. So, we've received the money. We've got the money. It's in our account. We don't need any particular approval to accept the money. But to expend the money, you do. You have to go through your normal appropriations process for expending the funds. So we receive 1.5 million, but we can't spend it unless we go through kind of the same discussion we had tonight. So it will go through Board of Selectmen, Board of Finance, and then depending on the amount, we'll go to a town meeting. And we need to take a look at kind of how those funds would be expended. The other item that we looked at was they had this category of lost revenue. So that, and we know that a significant, even all of it, could be taken under lost revenue. And that's based on the formula that they have for us to determine lost revenue. They tell us that we can, basically, you assume that your budget would have grown 4.1% if not for COVID, which for us is a dream come true. For other parts of the country, it's, that's what they normally get. So that's the number they gave us. So if we use that formula, then it looks like we lost a tremendous amount of revenue, which then we get to recoup this lost revenue. And the question has always been, okay, we recoup what is lost revenue. Then what? What do we do? We get this large chunk of money. Does it just go into our fund balance? Is it unlimited? What can we do with it? And they've come around to finally answer that. You do need to spend it. You can't just take it and put it in your fund balance or call it, the unmesuring fund balance. Also, that would grow by 3 million to 5 million change, I believe. You can't do that. You still have to spend it, but you have much greater flexibility as to how you can spend it. So you can spend it on what they call government services, which they explain includes, but is limited to, infrastructure, cybersecurity, IT hardware and software, environmental remediation, education services, the provisions of police, fire, and other public safety services, and non-bonded capital expenditures, or what they refer to as PAYGO, or pay-as-you-go expenditures. So any normal government expenditure, once you recoup this money and it's lost revenue, you can expend it there. Otherwise, you have those few buckets that they use specifically that you can expend it in, which are very COVID related. So we had a meeting with the Board of Selectmen and we went over different processes of how we might go about expending this. And kind of my recommendation to the board was that first you would look at what are direct expenditures related to COVID, whether that be, funds set up for social services, for counseling, for those type of things. So things that COVID has immediate impact. Second is then we would recoup what we can through lost revenue, which gives us the greatest flexibility of how to expend it thereafter. And then once we finish recouping it through lost revenue, that would also include general government and park and rec, we would prioritize expenditures thereafter. And discussion with the Board of Selectmen was, well, how do we do that? Who's going to do it? And we talked about, we kind of already have a committee, especially as it relates to larger expenditures, that reviews large capital expenditures as our CIP committee. So by vote of the Board of Selectmen, we will reconstitute the CIP committee. And plus, we've already kind of prioritized all the capital expenditures. We have a criteria that we go through to determine that. In that the CIP committee would look at this and then make recommendations, at least as it relates to capital expenditures, any small expenditures. I know in town hall we have some computer needs, we have some security needs and other things, but at least as it relates to larger capital expenditures, that would go through that CIP committee and then go back to Board of Selectmen, Board of Finance, and eventually town meeting. So that's the thought process right now as to how we would go through that. Again, I think the things that really been answered this time around is, one, we don't need special approval to accept the money. God. We do need the regular approval process to expend it. And once we recoup it as lost revenue, we can expend it on any, you know, general government expenditure. So that's just kind of giving an update on it.
Any comments?
Yeah, just, it's great. We have, you know, I think we have a real wish list on our capital improvement plan for the future, and to be able to get some of those things, free money sounds really awesome.
Well, it's not rich.
I know.
It's not free,
really
money.
Free money. But
it
gets,
got on my left pocket instead of the
same,
right,
sorry.
But it's still money,
yeah,
that we're going to pay in the long run. We have had, you know, requests for expenditures that are outside what we normally consider under the CIP committee. For example, a nonprofit has come to us and asked for that they be reimbursed for some of their lost revenue. We had somebody divorce selectmen. Request that we give money to cemetery associations. I mean, there's some things that are kind of outside the norm that I think, you know, we need to look at and consider. But things like the Scott Air Packs, River Access is another one, their pavement management. There are a number of things that I think we need to look at and kind of prioritize and decide what we need to expend it on. So some of those pressures we normally would have had on fund balance, because of this funding, they won't be as great as they might have been in the past. So,
thank you, Bob. Any other comments, questions for Bob?
No, yeah, I had a question, but he answered. You talked about pavement management, so I was going to say, you know, $1.5 million could be spent. At least part of it could be spent on resurfacing a road. But you already answered that. Yep. Correct.
Okay. Do you need a motion or anything?
Nope.
No,
that was
no,
just
this is for
general update. Next question, next comment or topic is an update on the environmental impact of PFAS chemicals at Cherry Brook School.
Okay. They finished their evaluation of the site. They rendered a report on it. That report was actually, I think it was sent to you, but also a presentation on it was given to the Board of Selectmen a couple of weeks ago. If anybody's interested in it, it's online. You can see the tape. It is very detailed and involved. Bit of a chemistry lesson, but it's kind of important. They did find that there are PFAS in the soils and in the groundwater. There are two areas that they checked where we believe historically PFAS was used as far as firefighting foam. One was over by the playscape, the other was in front of the school, close to Cherry Brook Road. The area by the playscape had some PFAS in the soils, but not to the level that was above state guidelines. So they don't believe there'll be any remediation required there. There was in certain areas over by Cherry Brook Road with a practice field over there, there was PFAS located in the soils. There was some located in the top layer of soils, but it was half of what was the state threshold, so they didn't have a concern from a health standpoint, but there was concern raised in the level below, you know, a couple of feet. There was some fairly hot spots and significant areas of PFAS within the soils. Their estimation is there would be about 4,000, if you were to use the traditional method of remediation, which is you remove the soils, the contaminated soils, similar to what we did at the DBW facility. The estimation is you'd have to remove about 4,000 tons of soil. Unfortunately, unlike petroleum, where you can just, there's local places that will accept it. With PFAS, there's only a few places where it can go. Even I'm concerned about burning it because it goes up the stack, basically never goes away. There is a landfill of some sort, I think it's Michigan, where they can take it. And it's about between 310, it doesn't say much for Michigan, I guess, but it's between
even Ohio won't take it.
It's between $310 and $350 a ton for just delivery and removal costs. So if you take that amount times 4,000 tons, it's somewhere between 1.2 and 1.4 million. And that, again, that's just to remove and deal with those contaminated soils. It doesn't include bringing new soils in, the monitoring wells, and all those things. So the, again, the traditional method, the estimated cost would be somewhere around $2 million. Our threshold on our insurance is $1 million. So obviously that raises some concerns. In talking with GZA, our environmental consultant, and talking with state officials, the Board of Selectmen, and with our insurance company, Chubb, the recommendation is that we look at alternative approaches. There are several out there. I don't profess to be experts in them. Some involve the use of carbon, that PFAS will actually attach to carbon, so you mix carbon in with the soil, and then you remove the carbon. Other has to do with some sort of biomass, others has to do with proteins, but there are basically a number of experimental approaches to dealing with PFAS. Some of it you can deal with PFAS on site, some of it you still have to move the soil and basically mix it up and then I think put it back in place. So right now what we're looking at is seeing which one of these alternatives approaches works the best, and this won't be by guess. There'll be a series of tests that'll be done. And then in cooperation with state officials and, you know, insurance officials and others, we would move forward with one of those alternative approaches at a, you know, much reduced cost. There are a number of entities that are very interested in this, you know, EPA, DEEP. We had phone conversations with them about it. In fact, they offered to communicate with EPA and try to get EPA involved with it. DOD, Department of Defense is very involved and might be interested in it. They've got a number of sites that they have to clean up that makes ours look tiny. Obviously, Chubb, the insurance company, is interested in it because if we can come up with an alternative way of dealing with this PFAS, then that may reduce their liability and other sites that they have to pay to clean up.
So would any of those entities be interested in providing grant funding to let us do an experiment?
Yeah, we are.
A beta test? That's kind of where we're going.
We are certainly looking at that. EPA and DOD in particular would be nice. I think they have some funding. DEEP has suggested they may have some funding, but that their funding will be kind of limited. We may look at other sources. Certainly that is something that we're looking into. The plume, they have an exact footage, I don't want to say what it is, but their estimation is that the plume is not moving at a rate that it would cause concern to a butter or something like that, that we have time to deal with it. We're not talking years, but if it's something that we could maybe do the testing and have ready to do the cleanup, it'd be great. We'll work out the next summer when school's closed. But somehow, you know, in that time frame, their estimation is that would be fine. We'll probably go back and retest some of the wells just to be sure on the abutting properties. And there was one well where the owner didn't want us to test it, but I didn't have any money. So, there's still a lot of due diligence we need to do. There's still, obviously, like I said, it is a beta site. It literally, use the term guinea pig, but we would be the test site. But this is a new issue. It hasn't been out there. It's, you know, a few places have dealt with it. But if we can find an alternative method, that certainly would be beneficial. That's the direction we're moving in.
Yeah, a lot of eyes on this. You know, our people in U.S. Congress have been alerted to it. They've been aware of it for, you know, well before we reported our issue here. It's a national issue. Basically, there is no airport in the country that's allowed to operate without this foam. So, you know, given that there are crashes from time to time, and this foam is used, and it's used in training exercises, you know, some safe way of taking care of this, remediating it, neutralizing it, however you want to call it, has to be found. So, a lot of eyes.
Okay. Any questions for Bob or Bob? Okay. Thank you. Appreciate the updates very much. Okay. I don't see anybody from the Board of Education, so I'm assuming we're not getting any Board of Education updates and referrals at this point. We don't have any new business, so I'm going to move on to approval of minutes. They were on page 376 of our package. Does anybody have any comments? Otherwise, I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
I do. There's one, 376.
Yes.
This is it had to do with me, and it just didn't. Sorry.
Do you have your tags open so
yeah,
you can just click on it?
Tap it for 377. Yes, 377B. And I'm not sure what I actually said. I know I didn't say this. It said, it's in this the third to last line in the paragraph, but S. Walker is weary as remote participants are more likely to be to not be engaged in the actual meeting. I may have said weary, not weary, but the purpose of that was that I felt the public should be able to see members of commissions. So I'd like to rephrase that if possible. So I've got an alternative wording here. But S. Faulkner is concerned that remote participants may not be accountable for participation if not visible. You see where it's going to be?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's on page, or it's line 97.
Thank you. I could have said that. I'm so sorry. Yep. In line 97 on page 377. So what I would like to do is where it says, but S. Faulkner is, replace after the is to, and take it to the next paragraph. S. Faulkner is concerned that remote participants may not be accountable for participation if not visible, period.
Be accountable for participation if not.
Not visible.
Okay. I will entertain. Do any questions or comments on the correction of that edit?
If that makes it, her meaning more clear. So.
Okay. So with that, I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes with the revision to line 197. Through 99, or excuse me, 97 through 98.
Simon.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Thank you. Okay, there's a couple of other informational things. Our next meeting is Monday, August 16th. And with that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Salute.
Sarah?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor, John's voting aye already. Thank you for joining on vacation, John.
Thank you. My pleasure. Have a good night, everyone.
Have a good night.
Jump at the top.
Thanks, guys.
I would like to ask next week, you can do this. I'd love to know the changes in the police, or officers, or maybe include.